17 minutes past 10. Have you seen the very Reverend Peter Bradley, who's the Dean of Sheffield Cathedral, who's joining us this morning? He was last reported 5 minutes away from the radio station, but he hasn't arrived yet. If you've seen him, I'd like him to be pointed in our direction. We want to talk to him about a letter that he's written, which is this. There's an Occupy Sheffield encampment at Sheffield Cathedral. It's been there for over a month now, and it's been brought to our attention that a letter signed by the Dean, Peter Bradley, has been sent out to local businesses. Well, this is the letter. Dear neighbour, I'm writing to thank you for your forbearance. We understand that many of our partners locally are being inconvenienced by the protests currently taking place on the cathedral forecourt. I want to assure you that we are doing all we can to bring the protest to a peaceful conclusion. The cathedral deeply values its long-term partnerships with many companies and banks and other agencies in the city. I hope you will be reassured to know that on the very first day of the protest, I publicly thanked our major commercial partners, including Barclays Bank, HSBC and the Cutlers Company. Whatever questions the protesters may be drawing to our attention, our experience of these and similar institutions has been of their consistent professionalism and committed support of our work. If there are any issues arising out of the protest that concern you particularly, do please get in touch with me. With all good wishes, yours sincerely. And it's then signed by the Dean, Peter Bradley. That's the Dean's letter. I hope the Dean will join us on the programme to talk about his letter very shortly. But I'm joined by Nigel Slack, who is part of the Occupy Sheffield movement. What do you make of this letter, Nigel?
We're a little disappointed in the letter, to be honest. We would have liked an opportunity to talk to the Dean about it face-to-face, obviously. Unfortunately, the only time that the Dean has actually met with any of the Occupy Sheffield representatives in a formal way has been at the ecumenical meeting that was held at the United Reformed Church recently. Beyond that, we have never met face-to-face with the Dean, which is a great sadness to us. We have a number of concerns about the letter itself. Firstly, the letter suggests that many of the neighbouring businesses are being inconvenienced by the protest. We're not actually aware of any such problems. We were actually informed of this letter's existence by some of those local businesses, disturbed that in the first paragraph, the Dean states that he's doing all he can to end the protest. If the Dean has any specific complaints from local businesses, we would be more than happy to address them. But he's not let us know of any as of yet.
And by one of those wonderful moments of live radio, the Dean has joined us in the studios of BBC Radio Sheffield to have that very meeting that you wanted to have. Peter Bradley, thanks very much indeed for coming in this morning. I've read your letter out. Would you like to say why you wrote it?
Yes, we really value our partnership with many of the local businesses in the town centre. And because of what some of the protesters have said, we're concerned that those businesses don't think that we agree with everything the protesters say. For example, some of our first funders for the Archer project were local banks like HSBC and Barclays. And we don't want them feeling that because we haven't said anything, we are agreeing with all that the protesters say about local communities and local banks.
How do you feel about this letter being out in the open today and being talked about on the radio?
I think that's fine, actually. I assumed it would be, and so I'm perfectly fine about it. And it's a letter, actually, that's not just from, although I've signed it, It has the full support of the board in the cathedral chapter, and also of colleagues elsewhere in the diocese.
Does it sound a little, I don't know what word to use really, obsequious, this letter to the banks and to the Cutlers?
And to many other local firms.
Yeah, does it sound a bit obsequious?
I don't think so. I mean, I just wanted the communities to know, rather our partners, to know what was happening. But I think actually the real issue at the moment isn't the letter at all, and the protesters have raised the letter because they don't want attention given to the decision of the City Council.
Then let me come on to that in a moment, and I will, but I'd just like to press you a little bit more on the letter itself. I mean, you say it's not obsequious. I'll choose my words more carefully. It does talk about reassuring your partners, the major commercial partners, the banks, HSBC, and so on. Do they give you money? Is that what? Are you afraid of losing money from them?
No, I think I'm afraid of losing the relationship.
Which is about what? How does a cathedral have a relationship with a bank?
Well, primarily, it's actually the Cathedral Archer Project. We've benefited from long-term relationships with Barclays Bank and with the HSBC, who've... One of the important things about Barclays is they were almost our first funder for our
building. Of the Archer Project?
Of the building for the Archer Project. And I didn't want... In London, at the St Paul's protest, banks have said they've not heard the church saying that they've been pleased at times to work with the banks.
Right.
And so in Sheffield, I wanted to say, I have been pleased to work with the banks.
What about the fact, how do you square, the letter's a little old, isn't it? But this week, HSBC fined £10.5 million by the Financial Services Authority for mis-selling products to elderly customers, which is a pretty serious matter. And I suppose some of the money that's come to you might have been made out of ripping off pensioners. Do you want to say something about that?
All I know is my local experience. And all I'm commenting on is our local experience in South Yorkshire, when we find these groups to be highly supportive of our social justice work with the very vulnerable. And I can only comment on my experience here, where I find them to be generous and supportive over the long term.
Do you think the banks and the Cutlass Company and so on have been unfairly portrayed by the Occupy people? Do you think
I think that some of the issues raised by the Occupy movement are very valid.
As whatever questions the protesters may be drawing to our attention.
Yes.
Sounds a bit kind of flimsy.
Well,
don't you know what they're saying, and don't you agree with them?
I don't know all that they're saying, because...
Have you talked to them at all, Peter?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I've talked to quite a number of individual protesters, and I've also met them formally, and the cathedral has met them more or less twice a week since it started to raise all our concerns about health and safety, concerns which I might say have not all been resolved.
Right, well, I'm in the studio. It's a rather curious situation on the radio. I'm in the studio with the very Reverend Peter Bradley, the Dean of Sheffield, and with Nigel Slack, who's with the Occupy Sheffield movement. I think the deal is you don't talk to each other on the radio. Is that how you want it to be?
I'm quite happy to.
Okay, are you happy or not? I wouldn't want to put you in a situation.
No, I'm perfectly fine.
Okay, it's happened because we couldn't kick off with the programme with the Dean. Nigel, what do you make of what you're hearing?
Unfortunately, again, it's one of those situations where this is all being played out in the light of the media. We are more than happy to always talk with the light of public spotlight on us, but we also feel that a lot of this, particularly the concerns about health and safety and a great many of the emails that have flown through us from the Dean and many of the comments that have been made in the press from the Dean, could have been tackled on a face-to-face basis.
It's madness, isn't it? Because we now are face-to-face on the media, so it's one all. All right, then sort something out.
Well, we'd like to. I mean, we have concerns over the way that we've been dealt with. Just going back to the letter, because obviously this is the main reason that I've come in today. That's sort of the mandate that I have from the camp, because Occupy Sheffield is a very flat organisation. We don't have a leader. I'm not really in a position to start negotiations with the Dean at this stage about the position of the camp. That's something that needs to be done properly and formally, meeting with the Dean rather than his staff, and rather than in group situations where we can't talk about this properly, but with the Dean to talk about what his concerns are, with his staff as well, if that's appropriate, but to talk face-to-face
rather than through the situation
parties.
Is now you can't do that negotiation now, nor should you.
I can't do that negotiation here. Not
but you want a meeting with Peter somewhere else?
We certainly do. And we have always wanted that. And since the 5th of November, when we first arrived, we've not yet had one.
Peter, do you want a meeting?
I would dispute that, because actually I've met many of the protesters and I've also met them together to explore the issues. In the cathedral, we are a team, and different members of the team have different responsibilities. We've been meeting twice a week at our suggestion and invitation, members of Occupy Sheffield, to work through a whole host of issues, sometimes in a rather difficult way. But we've been meeting very frequently, and I'm very happy for those meetings to continue. But I'm concerned that many of the issues we've raised from the very beginning have not been dealt with.
And they are to do with?
Well, simply with the safety of the camp and the safety of the protesters. It's not safe to have an open fire at night without somebody watching it. It's just not safe. And it's very difficult to imagine that further discussions can be fruitful when the simplest things that, like having an open... It's obviously stupid to have an open fire close to tents without somebody looking at it all night. It's simply very silly.
Right, there's more to it than just the health and safety, though. Yes, I take your point. The letter, which I think is the text we have to use for our conversation now...
Those aren't the terms in which I came here. I came to talk about the whole situation, and the whole situation is that this letter is being used as a ruse to draw attention away from the vote in Sheffield City Council on Wednesday, when the council, just as I have, expressed concern about some of the significant issues raised by the camp, and said then that they didn't support the method.
Thank you, Nigel Slack.
Just to clarify one item, you said earlier that the letter that, we are referring to today was some time ago. In actual fact, it's dated the 5th of December. That is also the same date that the Dean circulated every single member of the council with an email asking them to support him in urging us to leave the Cathedral Forecourt. Now, that was done 2 days before the vote in the City Council, the full council meeting. The Dean didn't attend that council meeting to ask any questions of the council or to put his point of view. We did, several of us, about 10 of us, if I remember rightly. 5 or 6 of us asked questions of the council, and during those questions, we received a great deal of positive comment about what we were doing and how we were doing it, and the fact particularly that we are a peaceful protest, and that we are making every effort to accommodate the cathedral's requests and requirements.
Right, this is too important to stop now. I'm going to come to part two of it after this. Thank you very much, Everard. I'm in the studio with the very Reverend Peter Bradley, the Dean of Sheffield Cathedral, and Nigel Slack from Occupy Sheffield, and they're in the studios in a somewhat unusual situation, that we were going to do two separate interviews with the Dean first and then with Nigel Slack. The Dean was delayed. They're both in the studio now, I think meeting for one of the few times they ever have met, but they're in the studio. Could I ask you, Peter Bradley, to sum up your position in 30 seconds?
Thanks, yes. Sheffield Cathedral has been working for many years for the people of South Yorkshire. We are strongly, strongly committed to seeking justice for the poor and vulnerable in our community. And I think if you spoke to local community leaders and members of Parliament, you'd know that we have been absolutely outspoken on those issues. I call on the Occupy Sheffield movement to move on from the Cathedral Forecourt so that we can continue our work and work with them on actually bringing a new beginning to the vulnerable of Sheffield.
Now, just like you're with the Occupy movement, can you speak, as it were, generally on their behalf?
To some extent, yes. Basically, I think what is being illustrated by today's meeting in the studio, and also particularly by the letter that we originally came here to discuss, is the fact that we need to meet with the Dean and the chapter, if necessary, to actually talk about why we chose to be where we are. They seem to misunderstand that quite significantly. We are not there in some form of protest against the cathedral. We are not there to disturb, wherever possible, the cathedral's operation. We recognise there may be some inconvenience to them. We regret that, but we feel that the information and the campaign that we have started needs a great deal of publicity, and that's a good place.
Thank
for
you.
It.
We're joined by Leslie on the phone. Leslie, your thoughts on this?
As somebody that uses the trams and the public transport backwards and forwards through that area, and the local shops, I'm sort of at a loss to see how the camp is adversely affecting local business, really. I mean, those businesses that I've spoken to have not expressed any concerns at all, and actually told me in one or two instances that their business is increased. I had nothing but courtesy from members of the camp, and on one or two occasions cups of hot tea when it's been very cold at the tram stop. I can't see any problem, and I haven't had any fellow travellers tell me that there's any problem.
Leslie,
either.
Thank you very much. It's the word inconvenience is one of the words in Peter Bradley's letter. I'm writing to thank you for your forbearance. We understood many of our partners locally are being inconvenienced by the protest. Peter?
Well, I suppose our experience is built on the fact that our Sunday morning worship has been interrupted by protesters. On Sunday, for example, with a very distressed protester interrupting the worship and swearing in a very distressing and aggressive way for some minutes, in a way that really, I was quite shaken. And I know many members of the congregation.
This is not quite
Well, I suppose that's an example of the inconvenience. I know that members of the public have been on the edge of some very strong altercations which happened in the camp.
Thank you. I'll come back, if I may, in a moment to that. But I'd like to take a call from Michael, who's in Broomhall. Michael, your thoughts on this?
Well, anybody that was neutral on this now is immediately on the side of the protesters, most obviously. For a man of the cloth, I've just heard him saying, I think he's absolutely deluded.
In what way?
In the way that he's almost praising the banks after the banks, in my opinion, in any other country, it would be mis-selling would be called a crime in any other country. After what they've just done, the HSBC, selling policies to people who are going to die before the policies matured in the next 5 years. I mean, will he condemn Bob Diamond's wage while he's on this programme? The banks, he obviously never watched Storyville on BBC Two the other night. The banks have ruined the economy, caused more poverty. Now, what he's just saying is just going to remind everybody of Margaret Thatcher's speech when she was quoting St. Francis of Assisi.
Thank you, Michael. Peter Bradley.
I'm perfectly happy to say I think that much of what the banking industry has done has been appalling. And I've been arguing for 3 years publicly for a different approach to managing banking. I think it's a scandal, as we know, and I've said that. And what's more, I've said it to community leaders such as the Cutlers Company. I preached to the Cutlers Company 3 years ago in very strong terms indeed about the need to reshape our common life so that everyone has a share in the wealth. Nevertheless, local banks have supported our work with the homeless very generously. This is a complex issue, and both things can be true. I think I have very clearly articulated a principled Christian position that says that the way that we've structured our banking life will not do.
Right, let me put this question to you about Christian values. It's from a Shara lad. It's a text that reads, rather than questioning the protesters' actions, I think he ought to question his own Christian values. To put the banks before those occupiers are standing up for. Put the banks before those that the occupiers are standing up for.
Well, actually, my Christian values are telling me to engage the whole of our society, not one group and not another. And I'd just say that's my discernment.
A listener question. Aren't you here to serve God, not to maintain external relationships with banks?
Actually, I'm here to serve God and the people of South Yorkshire. The whole community in South Yorkshire we want to engage with.
Thank you. Richard sends this email. Ask the Dean, I'm going to, why he doesn't send security staff round at night to remove all the unoccupied tents, which last night was all except one, and then in the daytime prevent any being re-erected. Problem solved.
I think the legal position, unfortunately, is a little bit more complex.
Would you like
than
to do that?
I would like the protest to move on.
Would you like to move on in the way that Richard described? You say it's unfortunate you can't do that.
I'd say that the legal position, we respect people's right to protest within the law.
The protesters, says Paul in Hope Valley, have turned the cathedral area into a tip where they have no standards. They should vacate without conditions. They shouldn't be there. Dean, is that your view as well?
Obviously it is, yes.
Right. Is it your view as well, Nigel?
No, it's not, obviously. The camp is untidy at times, yes. There is a persistent complaint from the Dean and the Cathedral that the open fire is unattended and that the open fire is a danger. We have taken advice from health and safety specialists and from the local fire service. They gave us indications as to how we should operate, and we are trying our best to do that. What people have to understand, and to be honest, because the Dean's never actually visited the camp, he doesn't know the situation within the camp. We are all there of our own accord. Nobody is paid to be there. Many of us are employed. We have jobs. I should be at mine now. I'm here because I feel so strongly about this, and I have an employer who is prepared to allow me to be here. Many of us, therefore, cannot be there all the time. There is a core of people that do exist at the camp. And the listener that phoned in to say that only one was occupied last night doesn't know that unless he actually looked in every tent. And he certainly wouldn't be able to do that because we have two people on safety every night. The Dean will probably tell you about an incident a couple of nights ago when the police turned up and felt the fire was unattended. In actual fact, one member of our community was inside the big marquee meditating. The other had taken a toilet break when they arrived. They talked to the PCSO that turned up, who did say to them, in quite firm terms, that they should make sure that the fire was not unattended. We will strive to do that.
Thank you. I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you both so much for coming in. It's been an absolutely fascinating thing. I'd like to ask one more thing of Peter Bradley. Is it true you've never visited the camp?
It is.
Why not?
True.
It is not true. So you've been inside it?
I've not been inside it. I visited it. Can I just say one more thing about something completely different? Tomorrow, Saturday, we're going to be handing out mince pies to Christmas shoppers throughout Sheffield as part of the Love Sheffield campaign. There's going to be 10 places throughout the city. We're giving out free mince pies to people as to encourage them as they come towards Christmas. And do come and say hello to us all tomorrow in Sheffield.
The Dean of Sheffield Cathedral, Peter Bradley, and now just like one of the Occupy Sheffield people. You're on BBC Radio Sheffield. If you've got things to say about the protesters and the cathedral and what the Dean was saying, please get in touch. 821333, text the word Sheffield, 01142799699. If you're listening to that conversation, and it was a very extraordinary moment on BBC Radio Sheffield, in which the two sides were talking to each other with each other on the radio, and the story has moved on a bit. What is your view now of the cathedral, the Church of England, the protesters, and all that? 01142799699 81333. A little earlier in this programme, the very Reverend Peter Bradley, the Dean of Sheffield, sat in the studio with Nigel Slack, who's one of the Occupy Sheffield people, and they talked in the studio about what was going on there and what the Dean had been saying about it. Ian joins us from Greystones. Ian, what's your view of the Occupy campaign?
First of all, let me say that I heard most of the interview and I thought you handled it very, very well indeed. I was impressed.
Thank you.
I must say that, you know, I mean, I am very concerned about the vulnerable and the poor, but with them being there, first of all, the place is unsightly. Sheffield Cathedral is a lovely building as you walk towards it, and, you know, they make the place look unsightly. The other thing I've got to say is they've been there now, what, 4 weeks?
Yes,
4 weeks. Everybody must know by now you know, what they're on about, although they've never made it exactly clear what they hope to gain. So why, you know, why are they carrying on? What more is are they expecting to do? Are they expecting, these bankers to come up and say, oh, we've been wrong, you know, we're going to change our ways, everything's going to be all right in future, you can go home now.
What do you make of the letter that the Dean sent out in which he apologised for the inconvenience? He talked about the cathedral deeply valuing its long-term partnerships with the banks and other agencies. He wanted to publicly thank our major commercial partners like Barclays and HSBC at a time, of course, a week in which HSBC have been fined £10.5 million for mis-selling products. Are you happy the way the Dean regards the banks?
Well, he was saying that he could only work from his own personal experience. I mean, I read in the papers about this £10.5 million HSBC thing. I must say, I don't quite understand how the amount arrive at this figure. But of course, there's all this question now of mis-selling. It's on the telly nearly every night, you know, anybody who's...
Yeah, but I mean, how happy should a church be being involved or indeed praising outfits that do that kind of thing?
Well, I don't know what can the church can only say what local banks have done for them in terms of assisting with funding, etc.
What did you make, Ian, of the revelation this morning on air that the Dean has never been into the camp?
Well, I'm very surprised that he hasn't been into the camp. I mean, I know that one or two people on the cathedral staff have actually been in. But you know, I'm surprised that the Dean hasn't been there and, you know, and sort of gone in and spoken to these people.
Are you sure Jesus wouldn't have been in the camp?
I think Jesus would have been talking very much about the issues. Whether he would actually been there, sitting there for all this length of time, no, I don't think he would.
Ian, thank you very much indeed. Your thoughts, I'm on 0114 279 6699. Meanwhile, your voice. The Dean, says a texter, seems to have missed the point that he shouldn't have to go cap in hand to the banks that have caused his parishioners so much heartache. Where do you stand on the Occupy Sheffield Cathedral and what the Dean's been saying to the banks? Thank you, Jill. We're collecting your thoughts about the Occupy movement in Sheffield and the Sheffield Cathedral. Loads of texts and messages. I'm on 0114 279 6699. What view do you have of what the Dean has been saying this morning on BBC Radio Sheffield and the letter that he has written about it? The Dean, says a texter, seems to have missed the wonderful compassion displayed by the camp to those of his flock who have alcohol, mental health and drug or homeless problems. They seem to be displaying the same Christian attitudes the Dean was talking about. And another texter says, please tell the Dean that I'm a member of his congregation who attends the cathedral, and I don't want the camp moved. They are doing wonderful things on behalf of us all. And on the Facebook page, Mark Wrigley commented, oh dear, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for the Dean of Sheffield to enter the kingdom of heaven. Question, how close a relationship should the churches have with financial institutions? There's been a letter signed by the Dean of Sheffield Cathedral, Peter Bradley, sent out to local businesses in relation to the Occupy Sheffield movement. This is the letter. I'm writing to thank you for your forbearance. We understand that many of our partners locally are being inconvenienced by the protests currently taking place on the cathedral forecourt. I want to assure you that we are doing all we can to bring the protest to a peaceful conclusion. The cathedral deeply values its long-term partnerships with many companies, banks and other agencies in the city. I hope you will be reassured to know that on the very first day of the protest, I publicly thanked our major commercial partners, including Barclays Bank, HSBC and the Cutlass Company. Whatever questions the protesters may be drawing to our attention, our experience of these and similar institutions has been of their consistent professionalism and committed support of our work. That was the Dean in the letter. Well, the Dean explained to me why the relationship with the banks were important to the Cathedral's Archer project, which cares for homeless people.
We've benefited from long-term relationships with Barclays Bank and with the HSBC, who've... One of the important things about Barclays is they were almost our first funder for our building.
Of the Archer Project.
Of the building for the Archer Project. And I didn't want... In London, at the St Paul's protest, banks have said they've not heard the church saying that they've been pleased at times to work with the banks.
Right.
And so in Sheffield, I wanted to say, I have been pleased to work with the banks.
What about, and we don't hear the rest of the question. Well, a listener wants to come in as John, so I'm joined by John, who's in Hunters Bar at the moment. John works for HSBC. John, what's your take on this?
Hiya. I thought I'd just give a ring because I thought, well, first of all, to applaud the church for actually standing up and saying about the, thanking the banks, because it's not just every person that works for the bank that's, done wrong, and it's not really every person at the bank that has built this economy in the mess that we're in now. But also, I think the thing needs to be highlighted, that there's a lot of people saying about the mis-selling of HSBC products. And it was actually a company that HSBC bought, HNFA, not actually HSBC. They actually bought into the company to try and offer products to its elderly customers. So, unfortunately, the HSBC band has been dragged into this because it was a company they decided to buy, but it wasn't actually directly HSBC advisors.
And did they know what was going on?
I don't believe so. I don't think that HSBC would buy into a company that would be looking to try and mis-sell its elderly clients. It's not that type of product.
Who bungled it then? Because they've been fined this £10.5 million by the Financial Services Authority. So there's no doubt in anybody's minds there has been mis-selling of products, John. Who's to blame?
Well, the people that to blame are the advisors under the banner of HNFA, not HSBC. As I said, HSBC bought the company. And I just feel that, unfortunately, with everything the way it is in the current economy, it's easy to just to blame the bankers, to blame HSBC, blame Barclays, blame other banks. But there's a lot of hard-working people that work for the banks. And we're being tarnished with these same brush as these people down in London that have done stock trading and all various other things. It's not those people that work in the bank on the day-to-day of dealing with public, servicing people. We've not done anything wrong. There's a lot of people that work very hard and are paid actually very little for what they do. So,
what view do you have of the protesters, John?
The protesters, to be honest, we're not going to get ourselves out of this economic disaster by sitting on the pavement and doing nothing, contributing to, to society. If they think they're going to change anything, nothing's going to change. The world will still carry on. The rich will still get richer. People in London will still earn a phenomenal amount of money.
John, will you stay with us? Because I've got Josh, who I think's take a slightly different view of this one. Josh, your view?
Hiya. I was ringing based off something you said right at the start of the programme, which was you introduced the letter and which was signed by the Dean and kind of talked about what that said about the view of the Dean, the view of the Cathedral and the view of Christians in general. And I thought it was worth making the point that Christians in general might have a very different view, and actually as the kind of main points of what the Occupy protest are trying to do, are something that I think a lot of Christians have a lot of sympathy with, something that I fully support.
So you as a Christian think as a Christian that the Dean as a Christian got the letter to the bank wrong and his attitude towards the Occupy protesters is wrong?
I don't think I could fully say that or fully, condemn him in his opinion. I can see what his point was about he was saying his local relationships with the bank have been good, and he was saying that the wider situation, financial situation that we're in the system, he believes, along with the protesters, has a lot of things to answer to and is very messed up. And I agree with him on that. I personally would like to see him take a different line and actually say, despite a few health and safety issues or inconveniences, actually it's worth standing with the protesters on this issue, because I think it is a point that's really good to make and really good to highlight.
Do you sense that he might have a bit of a dilemma? Because presumably some of the money for his projects comes from the very banks that are being slagged off in the Thames.
Well, yeah, obviously I don't know exactly what their private issues are. I think at heart he probably has... he said it, like he said himself, some of the issues raised are issues worth raising, and he does believe that. I think he's probably got some other issues to deal with the cathedral and the projects going on and the space that's being taken up that he finds difficult to handle.
Josh, thank you very much indeed. John, do you want to come back on that?
Hello?
Yes, John. Do you want to come back on what Josh was saying there?
Well, I think it's not really an integrated point, is it? I mean, to be honest, the Occupy Sheffield movement, I think it's it's great that people are standing up for what they believe in. You know, I've no problems with that. I think it's a brave thing to do, but things aren't going to change. And I do feel sorry personally for the people that want to use the church and want, you know, you see a lot of people, tourists and various other people that want to use the church and use the area. And it does just make it unsightly and untidy, and it can't be very hygienic, if I'm honest, living on that sort of piece of area. But, you know, to bring the church into everything, I just don't think it's fair. It's not the church's fault, to be honest, is it? It's not. I don't think it's people that work in the bank's fault. It's, you know, it's the people that make the big decisions. You know, it's the government that's been the main driving force behind all these debts and the cuts and various other things. But, you know, unfortunately, I mean, you look at HSBC. HSBC didn't actually borrow any money from the government. You know, it's not needed a bailout. It's the one bank in the UK that's not actually been bailed out. Even Barclays, which wasn't actually bailed out by the government, was bailed out by the sheikhs.
You know, John, thank you very much indeed. More on the cathedral, more texts, emails and phone calls. I'd like them. 0114279 6699.